from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you don't want to overreact too much. I mean, we are kind of in the business of overreacting based on, or at least reacting based on everything that we've seen so far. And we're actually going to kind of get into that mode here in about 40 minutes because I want to actually, if we had to make some cuts, you know, what would you do right now? But right here around the NFL, not overreacting, but impressed. The Caleb Williams era has begun in Chicago, and I don't think they could have asked for much more.
Williams with top, standing in the pocket, now fires and completes it to DJ Moore, but he's going to be tackled very close. On the Bills Wall of Fame, Steve Tasker. Williams play action. Fakes it. Smoot doesn't buy the fake this time, but Williams connects. What a throw by Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it was a great throw. Williams goes out, buys him some time.
Not to, you're not going to make any comparisons, not going to, you know, go over the top. But, dude, he looked the part.
Yeah, and I think he got the best chance to succeed because, remember, that wasn't the Bears' first overall pick. That was the Panthers. Mm-hmm. And that Bears team is kind of loaded. And for them to bring in a rookie, a first overall rookie quarterback in that situation,
and a receiver,
and a receiver with other receivers too. You heard DJ Moore name in there, and he have a really good chance to take this team, you know, further than other rookie quarterbacks have done in the past.
Yeah,
and I would be surprised if he had a good year. I mentioned earlier this year how he could have a better season than C.J. Stroud just off of what's surrounded by him.
First home game of the year against the Chicago Bears, C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. And I'm not worried. You know, obviously I know how good this team is going to be. But, you know, you've heard me. I've said it a bunch of times. I think those first six games is when you need to make some hay, man. And catching a rookie earlier in the season, I'd much rather catch Caleb Williams his first road game.
Yeah,
and the Texas
too.
First home
against
game.
Against this defense.
Yeah, against this defense.
So, I think Caleb, he might be all right. He might be all right, especially what's surrounded by him.
I'll be interested. Yeah, definitely interested to see how he goes from here. So, Jameis Winston, I think last week we called him an American treasure because he is very unique.
Nick Wack. Patty Wack.
Nick Patty Wack, whatever it was. Well, he's back at it, except he wasn't doing that. He got the huddle, man.
Yeah,
he got
man.
The huddle in the preseason game. Let's check in on what was the last time was Who Wants to Eat a W?
Yeah, well, that was a couple years ago. That was some time ago. But yeah man, this was I wouldn't say that was similar.
Well, let's hear it.
Kinda.
No, the message is simple. Be obsessed with your opportunity.
Yeah.
All of us that came from wherever we from.
Yeah.
Right here, we got right now.
Yeah.
So be obsessed. What y'all been doing? I got one thing for y'all, man.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to help me out because I know we're a team, all right?
Uh-huh.
I have this in my dream, all right?
Okay.
All right, when I say warm my dogs in, y'all say we ready, all right?
Yeah.
Warm my dogs in.
We ready.
ready, all right?
All right.
What the dogs say?
We ready.
No, I'm about to smell the Browns out. I know we won team, man, okay? I'm going to smell the Browns out. We're going to be our OWN.
Come on, Zach. You're going to
say that
again. He's spelling out.
We're going to be our OWN. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He just... He's a treasure, but he just does too much.
Yeah.
Keep it simple in those huddles, man.
I love it, man.
He's spelling out Browns.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to strap him up, man. I'm ready to get out there and lay a hit on somebody.
You could tell those Browns players was really enjoying that, man.
But they were laughing. They weren't getting fired. Like, just look at the dudes. Like, if you get a chance to watch the video, there's like the dudes on the outside of the circle. They're like looking at each other like, what is going on here?
Yeah. No, I love that about Jameis, man.
Oh, yeah. He is what he is, and he's not going to change.
Yeah. Now, my favorite part of that was when he said, something came to me in my dream. And it was just, where my dogs, that's what came in your dream?
That's what came to him in his dream.
No, I love it, man.
B-R-W-N-S. He's going.
If I could have a backup quarterback that won't ever touch the field.
Yeah.
Like, we never got to see him on the field, just, you know, preseason and backup time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Give me Jameis Winston, man.
I would love to just cover him. I'd love for him to be, you know, a radio topic.
Yeah, bring him to the top. I mean, bring him to the press.
Oh, man, his press conference is here.
Oh,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, just trade Tim Boyle and get Jameis Winston, man. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, another debut from another rookie in the NFL over the weekend, Michael Penix Jr. Look, I'm not a Falcons fan. I don't care about the NFC South. My son's a Saints fan, but whatever. I see this thing blowing up in the Falcons' faces. Like, Penix looked good. Like, he looked good. I still have no idea what the Falcons were doing. I just feel like Falcons fans are going to be calling for Michael Penix Jr. sooner rather than later on the field.
I think so. And I think Michael Penix, he got a lot of heat because of where he was drafted and the whole situation. But I always thought he was all right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
If Atlanta didn't sign Kirk Cousins and they drafted them where he did, I would be like, okay. I thought
he'd have been starting week one.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe it was a little bit early, but I would have understood. I'm like, okay, maybe they see something. I could see him playing or at least starting the year off like that, but I don't know what they're going to do. I think this is a situation where the Atlanta Falcons can look like geniuses by taking him, and maybe Kirk Cousins get hurt or not ready, and then they – you know, the rest is history. That's their franchise quarterback. Or they can look completely clueless.
I think they're going to look clueless. Like, because first of all, you got a guy just, you know, nipping at his heels already. You know the fans are not going to be patient. They're going to want to see the rookie. And if you're going to build around Kirk Cousins, why the hell did you draft a quarterback in the first round when you could have built, you know, gotten a piece that could complement him right now?
And by the way, Kirk Cousins had no idea they were doing
nothing.
That.
Nothing.
So to me, that show you they were completely clueless.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's what Penix is what, 24 years old?
Yeah.
He's old for a rookie. So you pay this quarterback what, $50 million guaranteed to start. And now you got a 24-year-old guy that's
gonna be a fan favorite.
Yeah. I would hate to be a Falcons fan hate to be in that front office.
All right. Speaking of clueless, Jerry Jones made a lot of news this weekend. Now, I'm not going to say he's totally clueless, but he's clueless on this. So we remember last week, you know, what was that? How did he exactly put it? Like, I wouldn't say that we're not in a hurry. What was it, Chris? It was like,
he said there's no rush.
Yes. Basically said there's no rush.
Urgency.
No urgency. No sense of urgency. I wouldn't say urgency. Yeah. On CeeDee Lamb. Well, obviously it blew up in his face, and so he was on their pregame show and tried to explain it.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this, he wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, what it is no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you're anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us. But it's not pressure out here today and in practice.
Look, he can say what he wants, and yes, he wouldn't be out here, but he wasn't practicing. Like he needs reps. It's like, okay, so like these players aren't playing for the Texans this weekend. We know who just pick one that didn't play. Well, they've been practicing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they're not going through a contract situation.
And they're not going through a contract situation.
Yeah, so it's not like they're keeping them out and about. They're keeping them off the field because of that. He's off the field because of his own choice.
Yeah. look, and here's the thing. He's like, well, it had nothing to do with him, not loving him or whatever. But yes, you got to want him on the field. And by the way, he's got to be on the field to practice. CeeDee Lamb finally got on the practice field today. So, Cowboys, absolute mess, man.
How do Cowboy fans feel about Jerry Jones just doing this type of stuff?
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious because I don't know how I would feel if, let's say, Calvin there was doing this type of stuff, just saying there's no urgency. Just comments and stuff like this that's ticking all of your star Cowboys off.
Yeah, the thing about Jerry Jones is it started out like this guy is a maverick. You know, he's cutting edge. He's doing things against the NFL's, normal way of doing things. Remember he went with Pepsi at Texas Stadium against everybody else, and he's like doing all these things, and then he goes and fires Tom Landry and builds this thing. So at first he was like this maverick that had this vision. Well, now he's like a caricature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know how I would feel about him if I was like a Cowboys fan. Like, dude, this guy need to just be quiet and just let his son run the team or however it is.
Can his son even run the team?
Yeah. I would probably get a little tired of this nonsense with Jerry Jones. Just these call for comments and then him trying to clear up the comments and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man, like, you gonna pay the guy or no?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the Indianapolis Colts also played this weekend. We talked about that. They had their first snap, I think third snap of all time together, Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson. And Colts fans are getting hyped. Hyped. Let's hear it.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts.
Dude. What was that at the end?
That was a horse. Did you see this, dude?
I did. Oh, goodness.
It's not a parody.
Yeah.
Like, he's legit a super Colts fan or Colts super fan.
Yeah. No, and the funniest thing about this is I seen him because everybody been picking this up and talking about it. But I seen him tweet. His tweet came across my timeline, and he pretty much like, man, I'm so overwhelmed about everybody supporting this and showing me love. I'm like, are they showing
you love?
Or are they laughing at you? I don't know if they laughing with you. I think they laughing at you, buddy.
Nobody is showing you love. I mean, this was his contribution. He said he wanted to make a hype song before the game. I like when he points at his bicep. There is no bicep. there isn't one there. And then what does he do at the end? Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Let's go. I'm hyped.
I don't even remember if the Colts beat the Broncos or not, but maybe, I don't know. Did the hype video work?
I don't think so.
Let's see. Did the hype video work? Here are the scores right here. The Colts. Did they even win? The Colts lost 34-30. Come on, man. Pick up your game.
And making the hype song for a preseason game is crazy.
Yeah. Like, oh, hey, a good time to remind everybody, yes, preseason or no, we got the Texas Ticket Tuesday is back. So get in on this, man. Get in on this. It's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. We giving away tickets in the noon o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm. 7 a.m. hour, Sean and Seth. 5 p.m. hour, the drive. And we're going to do it every week. I can tell you that right now. We'll get those Texans. And it's going to be in the bullpen, on the front row of the bullpen. Maybe you can do that little nay sound if you're in the bullpen.
We need somebody to do a bull sound like that.
Yeah.
No, don't make a song.
I was thinking about it. You know what?
Don't make a parody song.
Let's not do that.
Or don't make a hype song. Let's just keep playing the same one from Slim Thug and Paul Wall, the one that been playing for years. That Texans song. Yeah, let's just keep rolling with that one.
You know what's funny about that dude's video? Like, when you do a video, aren't you telling or texting your friends, hey, man, I'm making a hype video for this preseason game, and I'm going to sing and do whatever it is. Like, if you're his friend, you know he sucks. Right? Like, you know he sucks.
He has bad friends, man.
Yeah.
Because if there were his real friends, actually fake friends, there is real friends, would be like, hey, don't post that, man.
Yeah.
But see, it's tricky because, like, if this guy's dead serious and he like, hey, I just made a hype song, I'm mm-hmm. super excited, you want to hear it? And then he do that, then you don't want to hurt his feelings. You kind of,
yes,
like,
you do. Yeah, no, you do.
If you're a friend, yes.
Yeah,
now,
you do.
Now, if he's like, hey, I'm going to joke around, make this little funny parody, and just kind of make myself look silly.
It
then
is not
I would be like, yeah, that sounds stupid, bro. Like, yeah. Don't do it.
No, it's not. Let's hear it one more time. Let's get hyped up for this Colts game opener.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos.
Wait for it.
Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team.
Wait for it.
Go Colts.
Texans 78, Colts 0.
Now, I'm wondering if he's going to release another one for
this
week.
Oh, he has to now.
He's just like, he was specifically talking about the Broncos, the horse, yeah, we're the yeah. real horse.
He might make an album now.
Hey.
Everybody picking it up. He sent a tweet out and said, hey, I love all the support.
Yeah.
And all the love I've been getting, so he might come out with an album.
No, he now that he was serious.
He got to keep going now.
But now he needs to act like it was a parody and just keep doing it.
He got
to
keep going now.
Yeah. Figure going to make one for this preseason game. Figure gonna make one for this.
Yeah,
preseason
right. It'd
game.
Probably be better than that.
Yeah,
oh, for sure would.
No, I can promise you it'd be better than that. All right, so the internet's going nuts. It was going nuts Saturday night when Cal McNair shotgunned a beer. Cal McNair shotgunned a beer. There is a key element to this. He didn't know how. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, so I don't know if Cal McNair... He's gone from can't do anything right to can't do anything wrong, because people are all about it right now. So help me out on this, because you were talking with Hannah yesterday and trying to get the backstory. But so at the Luke Combs concert, and I think our boy Clint was there. At least it seemed like it to me. Anyway, so the CJ Stroud came out.
Yeah, so they,
a couple I of guess, other players
yeah,
came out.
Yeah, I guess it was some Houston Texans players there, including CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Luke Combs had wanted them to come out on stage and all that stuff and shotgun a beer with them. So the video that been going viral was Cal McNair on stage, mm-hmm. shotgunning a beer, and then he punted the can into the crowd.
Yeah.
So that been picking up.
Well, that's going to endear himself to the Texans fans. That's for darn sure.
It did, but it was a bit of a backstory to this.
Okay.
So, because it was a little bit of headline porn,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people were saying, oh, CJ Stroud, Calvin there, shotgun a beer.
No.
But it was a CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud didn't have anything.
Yeah.
But kind of got a bit of the backstory on why Calvin there actually shotgunned the beer.
What's up? Let's go get some beer so we can shotgun.
Oh, my God. You know why he did that? Because they wanted the team to do it. And he goes, no, they're in season. I'll take it for the team.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Cal took it
Cal
to the team.
For doing that. Yeah. So Cal, he was sitting there thinking like, nah, we don't want the team to, you know, do that.
Yeah.
They're in season, so I would do it. And the funny part, I ain't catch no more of this audio, but the funny part talking to Hannah was... She said he never shotgunned a beer before and didn't even know what it was.
Get the hell out of here.
So, let's go.
So he was backstage pretty much YouTubing out of shotgun a beer.
He had to YouTube out of shotgun a beer?
I couldn't tell on the stage.
Well, my thing is if he didn't know how to do it, did any of the younger guys not know either? Like probably could have showed him.
Showed him how
to do it.
Yeah, so he was back there.
Oh, maybe watching. They did. I don't know, but he was apparently watching
video.
He
was back there watching some video to see how to do it. And he did a good job. And I think Corey DeHanna, she was way more nervous about him, the way he kicked the can out,
than anything.
Because he could have slipped and fell. He could have embarrassed himself like that. But it all went perfect for him, man.
It has been going perfect for him. Now, to be fair to Cal, like my generation, and he and I are in the same generation, like when we were tailgating.
You, him, and Tom Cruise.
Me, Cal, and Tom Cruise, triplets. Anyway, like shotgunning a beer wasn't, it was not, we had beer bongs. Our big thing was beer bongs.
Okay.
Back when we were getting crazy in college. Shotgunning a beer was more like y'all's generation.
Yeah.
You know, so I get not doing it. I had to learn from my
kids.
Can
you shotgun a beer?
Yeah, I learned from my kids.
Okay.
It's pretty easy, man.
It's a piece of cake.
See, I'm not a beer person, so I don't know if I could do that. Maybe, but see, that's the other thing, too. I feel like Kyle was in the moment.
Yeah.
And just being on stage with all these people hype.
Why not?
You feel like you could do
anything. Concert going on.
Yeah, you could do anything. You could probably pick up a car if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But in real life, I don't know if I could shotgun a beer, man. I don't like beer that much.
It's easy. You could.
Yeah.
You'll be able to. Beers right here,
man. Yeah, let's do it. Let's shotgun one. Now, did you used to use a key, Chris?
So, yeah, I use a key. Yeah,
that's what I did.
I have a friend that does it just with his thumb.
So, you just, like, punch it?
Yeah, with his thumb?
Yeah, with his thumb. Yeah, I don't know how he does it. But you have to find, like, you have to tilt it and make sure that there's a little bit of, like, air or whatever.
Yeah.
Because if you just poke it, it's going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay,
when you put the key in, you got to make sure it's a clear spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And the hole has to be big enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And make sure you don't cut your mouth either, so just be careful.
Salute the cow for that, man.
How about that?
He might be is he the coolest owner in sports?
Has to be, right? What other
owner is doing stuff like this? The stuff he been doing.
I'm trying to think. He's up there.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone from nowhere man to maybe one of the coolest.
People was calling him Tommy Boy, man.
He was.
And now he's the man on the town, man. They need a reality show.
Ooh.
That would be great.
That would be sweet.
An everyday life.
Just Cal takes him on H-Town or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just him doing all this cool stuff.
That would be way sweet.
I'm surprised, like, the Texans didn't, release, like, a little backstage of, like, Cal and CJ.
Practicing?
With, like, Luke Combs, like, a little backstage of, like, them talking to each other.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know they showed a picture because they all took a picture together.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Combs in the jersey and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But... Nah, man.
He's done the WWE thing lately.
Remember the monster
ringside
truck?
Yeah. Monster
truck. Monster truck.
Luke Combs shotgunning a beer.
He need a reality show, man. I'm sorry. And I feel like they would do a good job with that. Just him and Hannah just taking on the town, trying new things. And he's doing a good job. Funny. Salute to him, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have that as my owner.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Man.
Compared to where we were?
Yeah.
Like, where you at, Cal?
Yeah, I know. Where's Stephen A. at now?
Yeah, where's
Stephen
A.?
Let me hear what you got to say now.
Ski!
All right. Hey, man, the Olympics are officially over. We talked about some of that earlier, but we haven't talked about this too much. The USA women, 8 consecutive gold medals now, but holy cow, that was close.
Kalia Copper has been Kalia Gold today. No timeouts here. Johannes up ahead. It's Williams. That was a 2. Banked it in. A 2 ball. And the United States is going to claim gold for the 8th consecutive Olympics. What a finish. Williams with her foot on the line.
Ball is inbounded here. Catches it. And you're absolutely right. 2 points,
all right.
But not enough.
All right. Like, she made the shot. She just happened to be stepping on the line.
Honestly, if we being real, France probably should have won this game, man.
I think they probably should have.
I wasn't sure who was coaching that team eventually. I ain't know if Mike D'Antoni was on there. The way they were shooting them threes and wasn't making nothing. I'm like, man, why do they keep shooting threes?
Yeah.
But, man, they were not going out without a fight, man. I thought this was – I mean, I don't watch that much women's basketball
like Adam was saying the week before we left, like, oh, ain't nobody ever gonna beat the
that's what I thought
yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought. It wasn't even gonna be a close game.
It was,
and remember, I thought the men's game was gonna be closer than what it was.
Yeah.
But the women's, they probably should have lost that game.
Yeah. No, it was wild.
Now imagine if they would have lost. Oh my.
Oh Lord.
I mean, I don't even want to go there, but man.
Well, the Americans wouldn't have won the gold medal count. They won the medal count 126-91. China would have had 40 and the Americans would have had 39.
I did see like a little report that said like the women's team USA, not basketball, just the women's in general, accounted for like I think 60% of like all of the medals or gold medals or whatever. So shout out to the woman, man. Shout out to Team USA.
They did big time. One of those women may have to give back her medal. That was the other
the one
big
I
story.
Walked past in camp.
You walked right by her.
No, who
in camp.
The hell that was?
Yeah,
I just thought it was a fine looking lady.
I was like, hey now.
I'm like, damn, she all right. Hey, whoever this is all right.
Yeah. So the International Olympic Committee are a bunch of idiots. That's me saying that. That's not in the AP story. In the AP story, it says Jordan Chiles' Olympic bronze medal they're asking for it back. And they said it can send the president, Thomas Bach, to get it himself. Here's the issue. Jordan Chiles did nothing wrong. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't cheating. It wasn't breaking any, you know, rules or laws. She wasn't even the person who submitted an appeal to the scoring. So she's losing her, or could lose, her bronze medal is because the people who were supposed to be doing it right did it wrong. It was about the judges. It was about the officials. And now they're like, oh, yeah, that was 4 seconds off in the time that you could get this score right or whatever the hell it was. Like, I don't know if it's the smartest move to, like, refuse to give your bronze medal back, but I sure as hell want to appeal.
Yeah.
And no. The Americans are.
Yeah, especially if I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's messed. They got to take that on the chin. Mm-hmm. Like, when if you gave her that bronze medal and she did nothing wrong, like, no, that's y'all fault.
Yeah.
Like, no, y'all got to take that heat for the next 4 years, yeah, or whatever. And some consequences got to happen between y'all, not me.
Well, the other thing is, like, apparently it was like this, and I don't know all the gritty details, but all we need to know is that the officials misjudged when they needed to get this score correct by 4 seconds. They did it wrong. And so now they're saying that the other person should have get the bronze medal. But she did her routine. She did it all right. There are events in which you give two bronze medals. Like, there's a tie. They don't play it off or whatever. They should just do that.
Yeah, I would do that.
You don't want to cheat the other girl.
Yeah, no, you can't take it away. That, to me, that's like a bad call in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, going back and changing the call because the referee messed up something and taking away the win. Like, you can't do that. You just got to take the heat.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take that on the chin and maybe admit we were wrong.
We screwed up. Yeah.
We screwed up. You know, maybe she shouldn't have won that bronze, mm-hmm, but we screwed up. There's nothing we could do about it.
Yeah.
Take the heat for the next 4 years.
If I'm her, I'm not giving that back. I'm sorry.
See, I my first thought was, yeah, I ain't giving it. But I think that's all of a sudden you're looking like
they're going to make her look like a bad person.
But that is true. They will make her look bad. But still, I wouldn't give it up.
Yeah, no, I might give it up in the time being, but I'm fighting.
She deserved it.
Yeah.
By their own standards. You know, they're the ones that screwed
up. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
I do want to play this Deion thing real quick. It's kind of a Friday, early Saturday story, but this is not going well. As crazy white hot as the start of his career started, where, like, they were pulling huge numbers until everything Deion in Colorado.
I was sitting there watching, and I don't care nothing about no Colorado.
They were on the board to win a national championship after 4 weeks. Like, they were like on the board, and then they go 4-8.
Yeah.
And Deion, he ain't doing it right, and things are not going to end well.
That's the end of that question, I guess. Next guy.
Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado. Tyler,
I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question.
Joe Rigo, my last question.
Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. Ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you, respect you. Ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my last question.
You. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
Man.
Why are you making it uncomfortable for that guy, man? That reporter is there doing his job.
And it's not just that. That's a big part of it. But the other thing is, you know what comes with your job. Like, you know what he was mad about? I saw somebody dug it up, because in their preseason preview or whatever, CBS Sports National ranked him as the second worst coach in the Big 12. Okay, that happens. You might be, you might not be, but that's going to happen in a coach's career.
Yeah, and that ain't got nothing to do with me, man. Like, I hate people that sit there and punish you for something that somebody else for your company did.
Yes.
Like, that have nothing to do with me. You go to that person.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an issue with what happened or who did what, you go to that person. Don't come to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just an employee. I'm here working.
I totally agree, but I think the bigger story is Deion can't handle it.
Yeah.
Deion's been in the limelight his whole life, and now he's Now he thinks he's got this position. Yeah, he's getting criticized. He's in a position where he can get criticized, and he can't handle it. Well, coaches need to handle it. Yeah. I mean, ask Joe Espada, ask, you know, any coach anywhere. They better learn that that just comes with the job.
Yeah.
But he's entitled. He's acting like he's, you know, Neon Deion or Primetime or whatever. Nah, man, you're the head coach of Buffalo. You got to answer these questions.
Yeah, and if you got a problem with what somebody said, you go to that person.
Yeah.
Don't go to me. Yeah. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Like, you be a man and go to that person if you have an issue with what they said. Don't try to come to me for it.
Yeah.
Like, I had nothing to do with that. I just worked for the company.
Yeah. It's something to watch because it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. All right, two preseason games remaining. That seems like a lot, right? I kind of think, like, most of the decision-making, the Texans already kind of know where they stand with these players. So who might get cut? Who might not lose? Who might lose their job? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Robert Griffin posts some weird stuff on his Twitter, man. He really does.
Is he back at it again?
He is back at it. We're not going there. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It's just like...
He did enough last time he was on these airwaves.
Yeah. How do you like that croissant? All right. So here's the thing. We've got 13, 14 practices under your belt. You got several weeks. You just played a game. One day off. Back on the field yesterday. And you got three practices upcoming this week. By the way, midday practice. I'm going to be interested to see where they're practicing. If it's outside, that's brutal. I think they might be in the state. Anyway, we'll figure that out and be sure to listen tomorrow. We're going to have D'Amico during the show live, etc. But here's the thing. I'm talking about John Metchie and Damian Pierce. Let's start with John Metchie. Have you seen enough already? There's always time to, as long as you're still in the batter's box, you know, there's always time to get a hit. But, like, have they already sort of, like, realized this ain't going to be it? Because I think they might have.
I think so. And I think the perfect sign was him playing in the Hall of Fame game. He started in the Hall of Fame game and didn't really do anything, mm-hmm. man. Hutchinson outplayed him. And I think now it's getting to the point where it's like, man, you already, you know, we already got three people ahead of you, mm-hmm. no question.
Yeah.
And now you got these other guys. When you start, Slim Pickens looking at the CMs of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, other receivers, maybe Robert Woods. Like, I know Robert Woods ain't, you know, I think he, you know.
Yeah, but he's hanging around.
Yeah, like he's doing something.
He's doing more than Metchie.
Yeah, so now Metchie, I think you're getting to the point where it might be better off finding him another place.
Or maybe a trade destination. I'm not saying, oh, that's it, I'm done. I don't need to see anymore. Because we are going to see anymore, and we're going to be pulling for John Metchie, and maybe he can do something spectacular to really show, okay, you know, he deserves a shot on this team. The problem is, well, with all these practices under their belt, he's had his moments. He's been up and down, and then twice in games didn't do anything. He had two targets on Friday night, dropped one of them.
Yeah,
can't be doing that, especially when you had a drop in practice on, like, I think last Thursday, Wednesday.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think him, just the way he started the Hall of Fame game, he should have been shining during that time. Yeah. Man, he should have been the star of the night. And he didn't do anything. And the times he could have shined, he dropped the pass you know, had a couple rough practices. And the room is already crowded.
Oh, yeah.
So the last thing you need to do is have a couple bad practices and not showing up during the games and stuff like that, man.
Yeah. No, the room is already crowded. In fact, D'Amico Ryans talked about that.
This guys just compete. Man, this is the NFL. We want guys to be their best, and that's what guys are doing. They're showing up, they're competing every day while also being great teammates and helping each other. So that's what you see. You see a competitive group of guys, not only the wide receiver room, but it's our entire team. A lot of competitive guys who are fighting to make this team.
Yeah, look, man, I don't know anybody that's not pulling for John Metchie.
Yeah.
I also know it's the, as you just heard D'Amico said, this is the NFL. And this is not, you know, hey, we like you, we're going to keep you around. No, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and you had players all offseason lobbying for him, man. He been around.
He was in the circle.
He was in the circle. So I thought, I'm thinking like, man, we're going to see the real Mechie this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hanging around Diggs and Stroud and all that stuff. So I thought this was going to be a Mechie coming out party. The Mechie they drafted, that they thought they was going to get when they drafted.
Yeah.
And he just not showing up, man. I feel so bad because everything he went through, but this is the perfect time to, you know, step up.
He might
up.
Need a change of scenery.
I think so.
Maybe Carolina, maybe Philadelphia.
Yeah, let's try to link you back up with the guy that you played with in college.
Yeah.
I'm sure they probably need some receivers. I know mm-hmm. they, you know, that's a, I know Carolina was a rough team.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe a change of scenery, man. This wide receiver room is way too packed.
Yeah, and he may not.
I don't even know how much he'll see the field anyway.
Like, what could he do between now and the second preseason, you know, two weeks from now, basically, second preseason, home preseason game, to say, all right, you know, he's going to pass. We know the top three. What can he do to pass Noah Brown? Nothing. Noah Brown's in the squad.
I think so. Yeah.
What can he do to pass? This is an interesting one to me. Steven Sims, who's, you know, so integral on the kickoff returns, still has, you know, can do a couple things. He punt returns, had a big return. Well, you know, big enough return on Friday.
He showed enough where maybe he's not the guy you go to in the passing game, but special team. He showed enough where he have a place on special teams.
Yeah, so that's.
Mechie didn't show. I mean, they ain't put him on special teams.
So that's five spots. If you count Steven Sims, and I do as a receiver, can he do anything to pass? Even like Ben Skoranek? Xavier Hutchinson has had a better preseason.
Yeah, that's the thing. He showed more than Mechie when it was time to shine, man.
Yeah.
And I thought he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really thought that Hall of Fame game would have been like, okay.
That was the chance.
That's giving them a chance. Maybe he'd play a full half.
Yeah.
And he just didn't do much, man.
Well, okay, now let's go to what I think is the most intriguing of all things that we're going to be watching over here in the next couple of weeks, and that's the running back room. First, let's hear about from D'Amico Ryans about what he's expecting.
With the running game, I think, first off, we have to just stay attached on our blocks, especially on the front side. We have to stay attached, and we have to finish better on the front side to get the runs going. I think a lot of our runs got stalled because, you know, we had guys penetrating in the backfield or guys shooting gaps, and we have to respond better, all right, to movement to get our run game going.
All right. He's not wrong. There were several plays where, boom, the guys, you know, shot gaps, as he talked about, or just stonewalled them. Or whatever. He's not wrong. Nevertheless, when you look at the box score of this game, Dare Ogunbowale made a little hay. Certainly Cam Akers made a little hay. Damian Pierce had 4 carries, 4 yards. So Damian Pierce right now, to me, all right, let's make a depth chart. Our depth chart today, right now at running back. I got Joe Mixon first. I got Cam Akers second. I got Dare third, and I might have Damian Pierce fourth. That's just based on what we've seen up to this point.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, but just kind of thinking the way they've been using Pierce, the way they've been treating Pierce,
mm-hmm.
they treating him like a starter.
Yeah.
They treating him like a starter. He didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, and he got some runs with the first team, but they kind of they not doing him like they doing Mechie. Mechie is saying like he fighting for his life. They go out there playing the Hall of Fame game. They ain't doing that with Pierce.
I think that's changing. I think it's going to change. I think Damian Pierce should be begging to get more touches.
That's the thing.
In the preseason.
See, if to me, I will give him as much of a chance as possible. I will have him out there way more than he has been.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just seemed like they trying to save him, like they know what they got in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just trying to give him a couple runs here and there and, you know, have a seat. You good. Let's wait. Let's wait for week one.
I should also, I mean, let him run with the twos. I mean, if he's not getting it done with the ones, let's see how he looks with the twos. Maybe that'll, you know, help him you know, with the cuts, the reads, whatever he has going on, maybe that'll help him a little bit. Just boost his mm-hmm. His energy, his game.
Yeah. I would play him a full first half.
I would too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But it seemed like they know what they got in them, and they just kind of got him running with the one. They treated him like a starter. And so that's the one reason why I felt like he might be safe where he is now.
I don't think so. I just can't. I don't feel it. Because and everybody, as we all say, everybody loves Dameon Pierce, you know, especially this show and everything. But, like, this was the best chance he's had all year to show people, to show us, to show coaches, most importantly, what he could do. This was like, I mean, Joe Mixon wasn't playing. This was going to be your game to get started and to show something. That all those things that we've talked about, your recognition of the offense, your comfortable, you know, how comfortable you are with the offense. That's all you had to do was just, you know, this was your game to show it. And I'll say it again, 4 carries, 4 yards, and other backs showed out more.
And see, that's the thing too. Like, I think, I would be more on your side if he actually played way more.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they treat him like he a starter. Like, I think if Joe Mixon played just 4 snaps and let's say he only got 4 yards, I don't think we'd be sitting here like, oh, you know what? This is, you know, troubling.
Yeah.
I think.
What's troubling if I'm watching this. If I'm watching the.
You just got to play more.
If I'm in the role of general manager, which I do so on the radio. I'm looking at Cam Akers, and I'm thinking, that dude has had Achilles problems. Even though he might be familiar with the offense, it's a new system. It's a newer system even than it is for Dameon Pierce. And he came in late from training camp. Meanwhile, Dameon Pierce had this big wake-up call last year, admitted that he had this issue to his credit, came in, seems to be recognizing what the offense should be for him now, and he's still behind Cam Akers, who just got here.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that, man. I just don't understand why.
No, he's behind, Ron.
I just don't understand
why. He's behind Cam Akers.
I just don't understand why Pierce ain't getting that much
run.
He's
not behind Cam Akers.
No, yes, he is.
I don't think we can definitively make that.
No, we can't. But we can't definitively make that call.
He got 4 touches. I mean, Cam had 6.
But do you feel
carries for 17 yards? But
yeah, Cam had 4 for 4.
Do you feel like they treating Pierce?
No, he had 4. We've seen 2 weeks of him, and I will admit, and we'll talk about it. It looked a lot more closer to last year with Brocker and and Patterson.
Yeah.
And the rookie Blake Fisher on the other side in the game. And it needs to start looking better, but I mean,
yeah.
4 carries to me, I don't know. I you know what I want to see? I want to see Joe Mixon in the next game.
Oh hell yes!
Because I want to see. All right. Like if Joe get out there and it looks a lot different, and then he gets out there and it looks like it has been, then that's one thing. But I gotta get more than
here's why I'm at least to this point. Now things can change over the next 2 weeks. Here's why I'm already to the place where I got Cam Akers ahead of him. Cam Akers has been here for like an hour and a half. Dameon Pierce has been here for 3 years. This is Dameon Pierce has tried to learn this offense for 2 years. Cam Akers, even though he's familiar with the offense, has learned it in about 3 weeks. And Cam Akers has a big, we can talk about Dameon Pierce's rookie season all we want. That was an awful team, and he was all they had. Cam Akers has a track record, as a running back in this league. And so if you put all that together, I'm not saying it's a done deal, but I got Cam Akers ahead of Dameon Pierce.
It's a competition.
Yeah,
I think that the thing is, and we're gonna get into it. I mean, Cam Akers has earned the right at this point. He's earned the right at this point to play football in the first half of the next 2 games.
There you go. It's a good way to put it.
I mean, look, we talked about it on the post game show. I've been a guy that's played in the third and fourth quarter of preseason games before. It is nothing like the first and second quarter. Absolutely. Yeah. There's different animals on the field in the first and second quarter. So while it's been impressive, I'm personally pumping the brakes on who's better than who yet until I see them in the first half, both getting work in with the ones or with the twos, or at least the majority of the guys.
Whatever the frontline players are, yeah.
Right,
but
yeah.
But I mean, would
that's got to be. But I think he's earned the right I think he's earned the right to be in that competition. He's earned the right to move from middle of third, fourth quarter guy to.
Let's see what you got.
Do you feel like they treating it as a competition though? Because
not to this point, I don't think
they treating Damian Pierce like he the starter. Like they not really playing him as much.
Oh, I agree. No, you're right.
And I feel like he should at least play a half or at least a whole quarter.
Well, I heard
quarter and a half.
I'm now putting together. I heard some of we were getting ready for the show, and I could hear the y'all's conversation. It makes sense what J Lo was saying. Is I would be begging for more if I was Damian Pierce.
Because
Damian Pierce is sitting there doing nothing and not getting the opportunity to do anything, and he may feel really good about a situation. Meanwhile, Cam's going out there, and he really's not doing a ton, but he's got a flash play.
Yeah,
you know, he's got these.
I was gonna say, I'm more impressed. Like, I mean, with the catching the ball out of the backfield, that to me is what he is. He's not rushed for anything in these two games.
And I go back to back of the baseball card, so to speak, to mix metaphors here.
Which includes his injuries. But
I think those are points for him. I mean, I didn't expect him to be looking this good this soon.
Me neither, man.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, well.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.